Kidstory, Kidstory. It's kids learning about history, history. Now let's get on to our history lesson. Okay, so my name is Evie, and my dad's gonna tell you who his name is.
And my name's Brendan. I'm Evie's dad. So we are going to learn a little bit about history. I'm going to tell Evie a story, and she's going to ask me all sorts of questions to help learn more about what happened in history.
My first question is, what are we learning about today?
Well, what we're going to learn about today is a little bit of Canadian history, because we are from Canada, and we live in the city of Toronto. So we're going to learn a little bit about a thing that happened in Toronto a couple hundred years ago.
My second question is, who are we learning about?
We're going to learn about a man named William Lyon Mackenzie. Yeah. So William Lyon Mackenzie. William Lyon Mackenzie was born on March 12th, 1795. That's one day after your birthday, except you weren't born in 1795. In a place called Dundee, Scotland. His family wasn't very important or rich. They're just sort of a normal family.
I have another question.
Yeah.
You mean like us? Because we're not important. We're not special.
Yeah, I guess they're kind of like us. They may have been a little bit poorer than us. It's hard to know. This is a different time. But sad thing, his dad died only a few weeks after William was born.
I have another question.
Yeah?
So he didn't really get to meet his dad? He doesn't really know anything about him?
No, he was about 3 weeks old when his dad died of just some kind of sickness that we probably have medicine for that type of thing now, but a few hundred years ago, they didn't really have the same kind of medicine we have.
So he wouldn't know anything about his dad, like I know things about you?
Yeah, only what his mom and his like grandparents and friends of his dad told him about his dad. So he would have had to just find out about his dad from other people.
Whoa, seems hard.
Yeah. And his mom really wanted to be independent, so she made sure that she could take care of William. And William was a pretty smart kid. So even though he didn't have a lot of money, he was smart enough that he got to go to some okay schools, which at the time, like, not everybody necessarily got to go to school, but he did.
So, like, now would it just be, like, normal school?
Yeah, now everyone goes to, like, kind of a normal school. But back then, you know, not everyone got to go to school. Or you'll maybe go for a little bit, but then you had to go to work and stuff like that.
Kids had to go to work?
Kids had to go to work back that time.
Did he go to work?
He didn't. He went to school because he was pretty smart and he worked hard at school. And when he was a teenager, he started writing for a newspaper where he lived. That's pretty impressive. Right? Not a lot of teenagers, even at that time, would work writing articles for newspapers. But he kept going to school even when he was working on the newspaper, and he learned to be a bookkeeper. Do you know what a bookkeeper is?
I think I might. Like something kind of like a librarian?
That's a good guess, but a bookkeeper is actually someone who does like the money stuff for a business.
Like a fundraiser?
No, like someone who makes sure that all the bills are being paid to like the different places that a store gets their stuff from.
So like a principal?
Yeah, maybe like a principal of a store almost, I guess.
Cool.
Okay. So he learned to be a bookkeeper and he worked in shops, making sure that all of their business was good. And in 1820, so that would be when he was about 25 years old, him and one of his friends decided to leave Scotland and move to Canada.
Hey, that's where I'm from.
That is where you're from. So they took a big, long boat trip. And it would have taken probably about 6 weeks of traveling on a boat. Probably a couple different boats. So they had to cross the ocean on a boat. And then they would have had to travel through the rivers in Canada to get to Montreal. All right. And at the time, that part of Canada wasn't called Quebec. It was called Lower Canada.
So you mean like it wouldn't be called that?
It was called Montreal. The city was still Montreal, which means Mount Royal. because there's a big mountain there.
But so you're saying that it wasn't called the same thing? Was the Eiffel Tower still there?
Eiffel Tower is in France, and the Eiffel Tower wasn't built at this time. This is before the Eiffel Tower.
I know.
You don't know geography that well. That's part of what we're learning.
They're mixed up to me. They're like the same.
Because they both speak French, right?
Yeah, they're the exact same thing, except I know they're in different places.
Because
I went to one once and had a picnic there.
No, you didn't go to either of those places.
I'm not sure.
So he kept working in stores, and he kept writing for... Place. Oh, you went by Montreal. That's not the Eiffel Tower. I guess you did. You were right. You're right. I forgot that you did drive through Montreal. I wasn't with you. That's why I forgot.
So I was right.
Yep, you were right. I was wrong. You know, sometimes I'm wrong.
And I'm right.
So after living in Montreal for a little while, William McKenzie decided to move to Toronto. But
I'm from there.
But Toronto at the time wasn't called Toronto yet. It was called York, right?
Is everywhere in Canada not called the same thing as it is now?
Not everywhere, but a lot of places, yeah.
Whoa.
And what is now called Ontario was called Upper Canada. So he moved to York, Toronto, and for a few years, he moved around Ontario, or Upper Canada.
So you mean working like, for stores? He traveled Canada?
He traveled this area of where we live, in Ontario.
Whoa.
Doing jobs, like working at different jobs.
Hey, Daddy.
Yeah?
Didn't you say a long time ago where we live was a farm place?
Yeah, at this time, it was a farm place.
So you mean like if he went to our neighborhood and he saw our house, he would see our farm?
Yeah, he'd see farms. Actually, he might have seen stables.
Yeah.
Which is where horses live. That's what our neighborhood was before. Maybe this was before that, I think.
So he went to our neighborhood and saw farmland?
If he came here, yeah. But he might not have come here because this was so far a trip from the part of Toronto where he lived, because everyone just either walked or took horses. So it would take like half a day to travel this far. It was a big long trip. Okay, so after working at stores for a few years, he decided that he was going to do the thing that he loved the most, and he was going to make a newspaper. So he bought a printing press, which is a big machine that you can print newspapers on, and he started writing his own newspaper. And even though a lot of people liked his newspaper, it didn't make a lot of money because there wasn't that many people living in Toronto at the time.
So you mean like farmers... There were only farmers living here? There weren't even any other people that weren't farmers?
Well, yeah. So there was the city, but the city only had like maybe 4,000 or 5,000 people.
4,000 or 5,000?
Yeah. And
I can't count that high.
Well, there's like 3 or 4 million people. So there's a lot smaller. The whole city was like our neighborhood. So that would be the whole size of the city. It would be like the same size as our neighborhood.
Whoa!
Yeah, it was a lot smaller then.
So you mean, what about our neighborhood? I'm confused because, if there are only that much, it would live in one place. Wouldn't it? Wouldn't that much people just live in one little area? Why would they have to use our land?
Well, the farmers would use our land. So the city was like just where like downtown is. Like, you know, when we go down to see a movie or something?
Movie.
Yeah, that kind of area would be where the city is, and then...
But we can't go to movies.
No, not right now. Mm-hmm. Mr. McKenzie wrote newspapers, and he was not very happy with the government at the time. Because... Mostly it was people that were kind of rich, and they were trying to make things good for themselves, and he didn't think they were trying to make things good for all like the people who worked on farms
were
and the
they?
People who built things. Probably not. Maybe a little bit, but he didn't think they were doing enough. That was how he felt. And his newspaper was all about how they needed to do more. So what he did was he ran for an election. He became part of the government so he could try to help change it. And he did. He worked really hard, and a lot of people tried to work against him, but he tried to make changes that would help a lot of people, or at least help them in a way that he thought they needed help.
What did he think they needed help with?
Oh, just making sure that people, you know, could have enough money to run their farms and were...
Have a good education?
Yes, have a good education. That he thought that was very important, to have schools for everybody.
Because he had a very important school he thinks everybody should, because it's true.
That's right. And he thought that it was important that people, when they voted in an election, that they wrote it down secretly on a piece of paper. Because at the time, you just went up to somebody and you said out loud. And he thought that wasn't secret enough, and people could kind of cheat that way.
How would they cheat that way?
Well, because if you said that you liked somebody else for the job, then, you know, people would, like, maybe scare you or tell you they're going to, you know, give you trouble or something if you didn't do the thing they wanted. So he thought it would be better if people did it secretly so that nobody could kind of make you do stuff that they wanted, because they wouldn't know what you did. So, and that's what we do now. We do it secretly.
Yeah, we write something down and we put it in a machine.
That's right.
And then the machine counts how much votes we put it in.
That's right.
And then whoever has the most votes wins the election.
Exactly.
I know, because I think that happened recently, and my dad tells me all about that stuff.
Very good. He was not very popular with other people in the government, because if he thought somebody was talking nonsense, he would say it right out loud to their face. He was, you know, he wasn't very...
generous? Kind?
It's not that he wasn't kind, but he just, he wouldn't kind of, like, let people get away with stuff.
Like, when I think something's wrong, I say, Daddy, what?
Yeah, so, but he was, you know, he'd say it kind of loudly and...
Like this!
Don't yell into the microphone. So he irritated people so much that when he was in the government, when they're all sitting doing their job, somebody got so mad that they ran across the room and grabbed him by the throat and shook him.
Whoa!
Yeah, isn't that crazy? So... That was how much he irritated the people who were in charge. And he did it so much that they threw him out of the government.
Whoa.
They fired him. And you know what? You know what happened? After they fired him, they had another election. And he won that election. So he went back. And then you know what happened then? They fired him again.
The election, he won again.
Exactly.
They fired him again. He won the next election.
And over the next couple of years, that happened like 5 or 6 times.
Okay, so why do they keep doing that if the people
want
it? Well,
because the people who in the area that he lives really liked him a lot. They thought that he was really trying to help them. But the people who were in charge and trying to get stuff for themselves thought that he was working against them and that they were going to lose money or they weren't going to be able to do the things they wanted to do. So some people liked him and some people hated him. Got so bad with the people in the government that didn't like him, somebody sent people to his house to beat him up.
Like bullies?
Like bullies. They hired some bullies, they paid them, and they went to his house and they banged on the door. And when he opened the door, they grabbed him and they pulled him out into the street. They started kicking him and punching him until his friends came and scared them off.
Did he get bloody noses a lot?
Probably.
Whoa.
So, like, that was... Pretty crazy. You know, that kind of thing doesn't really happen in our government now.
Daddy.
But back then it did. After that happened, he got pretty mad. And when he went back to do his job at the government, they again tried to throw him out. So they tried to throw him out again. And his friends and the people who liked him got into a fight. So in the government, they fought. Like, people were pushing each other, and they shut the door, and they put their desks against the door to keep him and his friends out. It was getting pretty crazy, huh?
Did anybody get really hurt, like they broke something?
Maybe. I don't know at that time if somebody... I think it was just like a shoving match at that point.
Oh, like a wrestling match?
Yeah, kind of like that. At that point, they kicked him out again, and the city of York became the city of Toronto, and instead of going for the government that ran all of the area, he went to become the mayor of Toronto. You know what the mayor is?
Whoa, not really.
The mayor is the guy who's in charge of the city. So not all the places, just the one city. So he became the first mayor of our city, Toronto.
So, is that why he's in history?
Nope, we're not even at the part where he's in history. That's a little bit of why he's in history, but it gets crazy.
Whoa, crazy? Mm-hmm. My specialty is being crazy.
So he set up City Hall, and you know where he set up City Hall? At the market. You know the market that we go to downtown before the pandemic? That's where the first City Hall was, where all the people who ran the city went to. At that point, Toronto was so small that it didn't have sidewalks. It didn't have sewers. It didn't have water. Everyone got their water from wells. There were no lights on the streets. Everything was just mud and dirt. And you know what they... And houses, yeah. And you know what they called city, what the nickname for Toronto was? One of the nicknames was Muddy York. Because it was so muddy.
It was something like that? Mid York?
Muddy York? There's a brewery near our house that's called Muddy York. Because that's what Toronto used to be nicknamed. So, William McKenzie, as mayor, decided that what he wanted to do was to get some sidewalks for downtown. But you know what? A lot of the people didn't like it because it was going to cost money. And they thought they didn't want money spent on something silly like sidewalks.
But sidewalks aren't city, Daddy. Silly, Daddy.
I know. But they all got together and they had a meeting in a room above a butcher shop. And there were so many people that it caused the floor to break. And everyone fell, and a couple people died. Yeah, so that was a pretty terrible thing. Mr. McKenzie, Mayor McKenzie at the time, kind of didn't like being the mayor of Toronto. He wanted to do bigger things and better things, and I think he maybe felt a little bad about what happened when people got hurt, when the floor collapsed.
I think he should get stronger floors.
Well, that's part of... what having a city would be is they would make rules for how things were built.
Like our rules now?
Yes, like our rules now. So he ran again to be part of the Upper Canada government, which is the people in charge of all the cities and towns, and again kicked out.
You can be kicked out of being president? I mean mayor?
No, he left being mayor and he went back to the bigger government.
So he fired himself?
Yep.
I thought that's not being fired. I thought that's just giving up and stopping.
Well, he wanted to do different things. He thought other things were important. At this time in history, Canada was kind of run by England. So somebody from England would always come to be sort of in charge of the Canada government.
I have a question. Yeah? Isn't our queen still in England? So we're still being run by England?
You're right. Yeah, we still have the Queen of England who's still like in charge, but she doesn't actually do anything now. It's just kind of like
mean.
It's like a symbol. But back then, the Queen was more in charge, and the English government was more in charge. So they sent a new guy to be in charge, and he did not like William Lyon Mackenzie. He described him as a raving madman. At this point, we kind of had two sides. We have William Lyon Mackenzie and his...
Yay!
And his guys who want to kind of help farmers and blacksmiths and people who build houses and
Yay!
Stuff like that. And then the other side is the people who kind of are very rich and run the government and want to kind of keep things the way they are and keep them, you know, making the most money and being in charge.
Boo, 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 boo.
So now William McKenzie is kind of sick of what's going on. He's sick of being kicked out of the government. He's sick of the people who have all the money and power not being helpful. He's sick of not getting the things that he wants, even though he's trying to do things by the rules. And he decides that what he's going to do is he's going to take over Canada.
Is that a yay or a boo or a...
I don't know. It's a very, very good question if it's a yay or a boo. It's a, you know, that's part of history. Sometimes things are confusing. Some things aren't yay or aren't boo.
Boo, right? Yay, boo, yeah. Yay, boo, yay, boo, yay, boo, yay.
So what he does is he decides he's going to have an army. And he gets all
army,
the people...
Army, yay!
He gets all the people that believe in his things, in his side, and he gets them together and they start practicing. But you know what? They don't even have guns. They have a couple guns, but not enough for everybody. So they're practicing being an army with, like, sticks and umbrellas. You know, they're not really ready, maybe. Right? They're You can't take over a country with a bunch of sticks that you're pretending to be guns. So the
slow clapping. That does not mean yay.
No, it does not mean yay. So what happens is his army, the news about his army gets to the guy who's in charge of Canada, who got sent from England, and that guy doesn't believe what's going on. He thinks it's silliness. He's like not worried at all. But some other people are kind of worried. So eventually William McKenzie picks a day that he's going to have his army get together and he's going to take over Canada.
I have a question.
Yeah?
Why isn't that day a holiday to celebrate Canada?
Well, you're going to find out in just one second.
I think I know.
What do you think?
Canada Day!
Oh, nope, not Canada Day. That was a good guess, though. So he says on December 7th, he's going to get all his people together and they're going to take all the guns they have and they're going to take over and they're going to make themselves in charge of Canada. But on December 2nd, so 5 days before he's going to get his army together, they send out the police to arrest him, but they can't find him. And one of his friends tries to find him and he runs around telling everyone, I need to find William. I need to find William. They're going to arrest him. And his army guys hear this and they decide, well, we're going to start our fight now, not on the 7th, but on the 2nd. So 5 days early.
So I think that's Canada Day.
So it's 5 days before his plan. And William McKenzie comes rushing back when he hears about it because people are starting to gather. And they're starting to get together at a tavern, at a restaurant, a bar.
I still think it's Canada Day.
But they're doing it 5 days early. And he's not ready. And some of the people are ready and some of the people aren't ready. So he thinks he's going to have four or 5,000 people. But instead he has like maybe 200. So not enough people for his plan to work. He goes out to kind of go around on his horse to make sure that everything's calm. And some of the people from Toronto go around and they're looking to see if William McKenzie and his people are starting to cause trouble. And he sees some guys. And he pulls out his gun and he says, stop. I'm going to have to take you prisoner. And him and his friend...
Why?
Well, because he doesn't want them telling the real soldiers, the soldiers in Toronto, that they're about to attack. So he has to take them prisoner so that they can't send their message. And he says to them, are you guys carrying any guns? What do you think they say?
No.
That's right. They say no. And he says, well, because I'm a gentleman, I'm not going to search you for weapons because that wouldn't be gentlemanly. And then he sends them back under guard to the tavern that they're all being at. And on the way back, the guys that they took prisoner, one of the guys pulls out a gun and shoots one of William McKenzie's friends.
But But why didn't he search for guns? You should do that before you take someone in for jail.
It seems pretty simple, right? That's what I would do. That's what you'd do. But he was trying to be like a gentleman about it.
Or I would just say, walk through the store, but it's actually a metal detector so I could see if they had metal.
It was before they had metal detectors, so that's also a good idea.
Then I'd put magnets on them, and then any magnets would stick, and I would take the magnets off and go...
So now one of William's friends was shot. He was one of the guys who was trying to get the army to take over Canada. And that guy takes off on his horse. And as he's rushing away, William sees him running by and goes like, what's going on? I just saw you and you were taken prisoner. Why are you running away on your horse? And the guy turns around, rides up to William McKenzie, pulls out his other gun, because he actually had two guns, not even just one.
I would put marbles on that. I would put marbles and say, hey, don't put marbles. Stick. Then I would take them off a minute later and go, you had guns on you.
Well, he takes his other gun and he pulls it and he puts it right in William's face and he pulls the trigger, but it didn't work.
Why?
Old-fashioned guns sometimes just didn't work. If they got a little bit wet or wasn't put together properly, they just kind of go, that freaks out William's horse and his horse like starts running away. Because it makes a big flash, a big spark, even though it doesn't actually shoot a bullet. So that guy takes off. He jumps on his horse, rides a little bit further, jumps off his horse into the woods, hides out in the woods, hides behind a log while everyone's searching for him. All of William's men are searching for him. And then runs through the woods and gets to the guy who's now in charge of Canada, who doesn't like William. And now he tells him, this is serious. William McKenzie is getting an army together. He's going to take over Toronto. He's going to take over Canada.
What?
This is actually happening. I actually had to shoot somebody. So now the guy who's in charge of Canada is like, oh, this is scary. I'm freaking out.
Why didn't he think this was big? I mean, and why didn't William's friend just go, I'm going to take your gun for the army?
Well, the guy in charge of Canada didn't think it was big because he thought William was a bit of a goofball. He thought he was all talk. He thought he was just a guy who kind of talked a lot and didn't really do anything.
You mean like a weirdo who just does fake things?
That's who we kind of thought William was. And when you hear the story of him not searching the guys for guns, you wonder, maybe he was a bit of a goofball, wasn't he?
But it was his friends that did that. His friends just wanted to be a gentleman.
No, that was William. That William McKenzie did that.
What?
He's the one that didn't search him. So maybe he wasn't very good at taking over the government with an army if he didn't even do that, right?
Yeah. But it kind of means that you...
So now...
for arrest just so they don't tell people.
So now, the guy who's in charge of Canada gets the sheriff and some of his men, and he gets them to go hide out. And the next morning, William gets all of his friends together, and they start marching down Yonge Street.
Yonge Street? That still exists.
It still exists. Yes, it does.
Did they keep that there for... history?
Well, they kept it there because it's the biggest street in the world. It's the longest street in the world. So now William's starting to go a little crazy. He's getting way overexcited. And he goes and he burns down the house of somebody who's in charge of a bank.
What the marshmallows?
So he gets his army and they start marching down the street. And they get to an area and they think, uh-oh. There's maybe an ambush ahead. Do you know what an ambush is? An ambush is when, like, people hide, and then they wait until you're, like, kind of there, and they jump out, and they'll shoot you.
Oh, you mean, like, if I was hiding behind a bush, and then they went, boom!
Pretty much, yes, except with guns.
So that would be me. I would never do that to you, Daddy.
No?
I'd only scare you from behind the couch and go, boom!
That's good.
And then you'd go, ah!
So, what happens is the people who are there to ambush him take a couple shots at William's men, and then William's men shoot back, except because they've only been practicing with sticks and stuff, they're not very good with the guns. So they shoot the guns, and then they jump onto the ground to duck. But the people who are behind them think that they've been shot, even though they're just ducking. So the people behind them kind of freak out and think, oh no, all of our friends are being shot. So they start running away. And the people who are ambushing them and hiding in the garden think, oh no, we're being shot. And they start running away. So basically, both sides shoot at each other a couple times, and then everyone runs away.
Okay, this is crazy. Like, even crazier than school.
Now they all run away, and they get back to the tavern. And a lot of people are like, no way, I'm done with this. And they start going home. But then, this is still like 2 days before the plan was supposed to happen.
But
so people are showing
five.
Up to do the plan, and like there wasn't help.
You said five.
But it's been a couple days since people started showing
Whoa,
up.
Whoa, they haven't had sleep?
Well, they sleep in they've slept in like tents and stuff. And
okay,
in the,
that does
in, like,
not seem comfortable for more than two nights.
So now people are showing up. They don't have telephones back then. So people show up and they find out, like, what happened? There was a fight already? There wasn't supposed to be a fight for a couple of days. And already people have run away, and they everything's getting all messed up, and the plan isn't happening the way it's supposed to happen.
Well, I mean, that's kind of good, because it's supposed to happen 2 days from now. But not, like, literally 2 days from now.
One of his people, I found a quote from when he described what William Mackenzie was like then, who was starting to go a little, he was freaking out, he was panicking.
Like,
it sounds like it. So they call him Little Mac because William Mackenzie was short. He was a shorter guy. So he says, Little Mac conducted himself like a crazy man. All the time we were at Montgomery's Tavern, he went about storming and screaming like a lunatic. And many of us felt certain he was not longer in his right senses.
But it's just because he was excited and nervous.
Yeah.
Nerve-sighted.
Yeah, nerve-sighted would probably be a good way to describe it.
Oh, that means nervous and excited. I made it up before this because I was nerve-sighted.
Now, they are hiding out at the tavern, and they burn down a bridge to stop soldiers from being able to come from that direction.
OMG.
Yep. And they start, the soldiers from the city come up to the tavern where they're hiding out, and they start shooting at it, and the guys run into the woods and they shoot back, but then everyone runs away.
OMG.
So William Mackenzie, he takes off because now he's in big, big trouble.
There should still be a day for trying, and it doesn't matter if you fail. You should just try. So there should be a day for trying.
Well, but what they tried was to take over Canada with guns.
Yeah, but...
So do you really think that that's something that's good?
Not really.
Yeah, so that's why we don't celebrate it. Even though maybe some of the ideas that he wanted to do were good, he didn't really maybe go about it in the best way.
Did he ever go crazy?
Well, at this point, he was definitely a little...
Nuts?
Little nuts. Let's call him a little nuts. He takes off, and he goes running to the United States. And he's hiding out.
How
in people...
How can you run that far?
Oh, it took him days. He had a horse. So he hides out in people's barns. He hides out in the woods. At one point, he gets to a river, and he has to take off all his clothes and climb through, like, a freezing wind... River. It's wintertime. It's December.
Naked?
He was naked because he had to have dry clothes when he got out on the other side.
But how? But his clothes would be on the other side.
Well, he held them up.
Like a flag.
Yeah. So he crossed the river, and finally, he makes it all the way down to the Niagara Falls.
Did people live near that?
Did people live near the river?
Yeah, did he?
Yeah, but he was going through, like, the woods to hide. He was staying away from the roads because he didn't want to get caught. Because now he was, like, he was going to be under arrest.
Yeah, if you're naked walking down the street?
Well, not so much the naked walking down the street, but he's going to be under arrest for, you know, trying to take over the government with guns. You're not allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So he gets to near Niagara Falls.
They're both a crime.
One's maybe a bit more serious. Which one do you think's more serious?
The guns.
The guns, that's right. And
but now that would never, ever happen.
So he gets to the United States, and a bunch of people in the United States like what he's trying to do. So they give him a bit more money, and he takes over an island in the river kind of near Niagara Falls.
Does he want to take over the whole world? Because if he doesn't, he's gone crazy.
Just Canada. But he sets up his own country on an island. He just plants a flag and says, this is our own country. This is the Republic of Canada.
Is that Hawaii?
No,
Hawaii?
It's just a small island.
Does anybody live there now?
I don't think so. I think it's just like a nature island now.
Oh, like, can you go there to have vacation now?
No, it's like really small. It's like this size, like smaller than our neighborhood. It's just, you know, a very small island. It doesn't make any sense that you would take it over and call it its own country. It's like something a crazy person would do.
Like, it couldn't even fit around my knee big?
It would be bigger than your knee. At this point, the Canadian government gets lots of soldiers together, and they kick him off his island. And the people in the United States, he's broken laws in the United States, and they put him under arrest.
Would it be about this long?
And they put him in jail.
Daddy,
92 of the people who worked with him get sent to...
Would the island be as big as our house?
The island is bigger than our house.
Okay. I just thought it was that tiny.
So, after William gets in trouble and goes to jail in the United States, 92 of the people that helped him get sent to Tasmania, which is near Australia.
Whoa!
And that's where they send people for punishment.
I thought you said
And some of the people get sentenced to hang.
Oh, Daddy taught me about that. People get hung until they die.
That's right. Yeah, that's a bad punishment. But that's what the punishment was for trying to take over the country with guns.
Why didn't William get that? Why couldn't they just save
him? Well, he was, but he was in a different country, so they couldn't bring him back. Eventually, the government forgives them, and the people were allowed to be free again. And William came back and still tried to help out with the country after that. But people didn't really listen to him at that point because he had done something pretty crazy and he'd lost.
Okay, yeah. That makes lots of sense for me. I'm not sure about him, because he's him.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what he thinks. And I don't know what he's thinking about right now.
Later on, many, many years later, William Mackenzie's grandson became the Prime Minister of Canada. He became in charge of Canada.
He has a grandson?
Oh, he had like 8 kids.
He had 8 grandsons?
He had more than 8 grandsons, but one of his grandsons became the Prime Minister of Canada.
So, like, is that like the family tradition or something?
Well, his family became very important in Canada. Even though he had done something kind of crazy, his family was important, and they changed a lot of things in Canada, and they changed a lot of things to make them a little bit better for people, too.
Okay.
So, isn't that a pretty weird story?
Yeah.
And sometimes history is confusing, isn't it? Because is he a good guy or is he a bad guy? What do you think?
I think he's like Harley Quinn. He's good and bad.
He's good and bad. Yeah, he has some good stuff and bad stuff. Because a lot of people are both. A lot of people have a little bit of both in them. All right. Well, that is the story of the Battle of Toronto. The Upper Canada Rebellion. Okay. Is there anything you want to say?
Nothing. Just, this is Evie signing out.